Doing business with a car company for most of us involves us buying and the company selling. Southern Oregon University flipped the transaction around in its recently announced transaction with Chevrolet. SOU is selling carbon credits to Chevy, part of the company's efforts to reduce its carbon footprint in these days of carbon-induced climate change. So how does that work? What exactly is included in the transaction? For those questions, we turn to Roxanne Beigel-Coriel, who's the Southern Oregon University Sustainability and Recycling Coordinator. It's an impressive title, Roxanne. Thanks for joining
Thank
us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here.
So first of all, I mean, how long has Southern Oregon University even had your position?
My position's been here a little over 2 years now. I started in March of 2012.
So the position started with you. You were the first sustainability and recycling coordinator.
Yeah, and it was kind of created by students along with the President's Sustainability Council. But when the students create a recycling program on campus, they needed a staff position to oversee that program, as well as to help us really take more action on our sustainability goals and initiatives.
Which actually predate the position, at least by a few years, I know, because SOU has been talking for a long time about its greenness. Walk us through some of the steps.
We really started having a big commitment to sustainability when President Cullinan signed the American College and University Campus President's Climate Commitment in 2006. And with that commitment comes several steps you need to take in order to fulfill it, which includes creating a climate action plan, doing greenhouse gas inventories, having a sustainability council who advises the president, and doing other things like incorporating sustainability into the curriculum. So it really all started there, and the President's Sustainability Council worked on a lot of initiatives like creating our climate action plan, and we committed to being climate neutral by the year 2050, which means we should have no net greenhouse gas emissions, which is really a big undertaking.
It is. I noticed that among the goals. It's one thing to talk about, okay, we want to reduce our carbon footprint by 30% by X year, but your goal is 100% reduction of the carbon footprint by 2050, which I think means no footprint.
Right. And it's no net. So we'll always have some kind of a footprint, because at this point, at least, it's kind of impossible to be completely net zero, because we all use energy. We all have to get to campus, and we're a big commuter campus. So it's something that we include in our footprint is the emissions associated with people commuting to and from campus, and also air travel that's funded by the university, which are two of the bigger ones that are harder to control, also harder to measure.
So you've really gone out and looked at all the ways in which people are connected to Southern Oregon University through any one of a number of different transactions and figured out what kind of carbon footprint they're laying out there, too.
Yeah, as much as we can. One of the other things that some schools can measure that we don't is purchasing, which is really difficult for us because we have very decentralized purchasing. So it's hard to find out from every department everything they purchase and the footprint of that product. It's something that maybe in the future we'd be able to start incorporating, but we still have commuting and air travel and our own just electricity use to tackle.
So when you talk about reducing the carbon footprint to zero, then you're talking about a net zero, I guess. Is the difference then between not actually creating anything or you're creating something and buying credits?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. So we are trying to do as much as we can to reduce our energy use on campus and to get people to commute in ways other than a single occupant vehicle trip. And at the same time, we will eventually, to get to net zero, we'll need to purchase carbon offsets and renewable energy credits to offset the energy that we're using.
And so this is essentially where you are with Chevrolet. At this point, though, you are not buying, you're selling.
Right, we're kind of reversing it. So in the past, students, through their Green Fund, which is a student fee, they tax themselves in order to purchase carbon offsets, renewable energy credits to offset the university's energy by 100%. We're the first university in Oregon to do that. And recently the students changed it, so now we offset 100% of our water use, and we don't offset any of our energy at this point. But we're putting more money into renewable energy on campus, like putting more solar panels up and trying to do more energy reduction projects. But at the same time, we've now entered into this program with Chevrolet, where they're going to pay us for our carbon reduction initiatives.
Interesting. So I know there are a lot of people scratching their heads going, how does that work? They're paying you for what exactly? So what are they paying you for exactly?
So they're paying us for our particular program. It's for the new LEED residence halls we have. So LEED is Leadership in Energy and Environmental Design, and they're buildings that are built to a higher standard than what regular code offers. And for Chevrolet's program, they weren't just looking for any LEED buildings. They were looking for campuses who are really going above and beyond what others are doing. So ours are LEED Gold, which is a very high level of LEED. And an average LEED building performs about 25% over code when you look at its energy efficiency. And our buildings haven't been open for a full year yet, so we don't know exactly how well they're performing over code for an entire year. But the design specs say they should be 40% over code, which is pretty significant. And so Chevrolet really liked that, and they said, you're a great candidate for our program. So we worked with them on this new methodology they created to determine how many carbon credits we have to sell, and then eventually they'll purchase them from us.
So which buildings are we talking about here that haven't been open for you? These are the residence halls?
These are the brand new residence halls, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what do they go by name?
It's McLaughlin Hall and Shasta Hall.
McLaughlin and Shasta, named after mountains, nice.
Yeah.
So what happens at the what is incorporated into the design of these buildings that makes them LEED Gold, that makes them so much more efficient mm-hmm. than your average run-of-the-mill residence hall?
Yeah, we did a lot in these buildings to make them LEED Gold. Some of the very visible things are the solar panels that are on the top of the buildings. There's 153 kilowatts between the two of them. We also have solar thermal, so the hot water is heated through solar panels on the roof. There's also a lot of daylight in the buildings, a lot of daylit spaces for students, so we don't need as much light. There's automatic lighting controls. There's some things that are really cool, like the washers and dryers will send the students a text when their thing is ready. And there's behavioral things in the halls, like having signs up that educate students about using full loads of laundry, using the heater on lower settings, and just things that they can do to help conserve energy in the buildings.
I'm going to guess there's going to be a little more money spent up front for achieving something like LEED Gold.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, because it's not every washing machine that can text somebody when they're ready to go.
But wouldn't that be nice to have at home?
Yeah, instead of hearing the dryer go, yeah. It just says, hey, I'm done. On a text. We're talking to Roxanne Beigel-Coriel. She's the Southern Oregon University Sustainability and Recycling Coordinator. We're talking about a bunch of sustainability things that go on the SOU campus, including this recent development of selling carbon credits to Chevrolet. Join us on the exchange with your questions or comments. 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Check us out on Facebook. It looks like Roxanne's picture's up there now. Email us at jx@jeffnet.org. So the approach actually came from Chevrolet?
We took some students to a conference in Nashville, Tennessee last year. It's called the ASHE Conference. It's the Association for the Advancement of Sustainability in Higher Education. And it's kind of the organization that helps universities have the most resources and to connect us all on sustainability issues. And we took a bunch of students, and Chevrolet was doing a presentation on this new program they had. And one of our students, our sustainability leader, Sean Franks, who recently graduated, he went to their presentation and he said, I think this is something SOU could do. So he took me over to the sustainability director from Chevrolet and introduced me, and we started talking about it, and that's where it all started. Then we looked at whether or not we were eligible, and once we found out we started to do the verification.
So you have to provide to Chevrolet what?
We provide them with all of the energy use for the building. So we send them all of our utility invoices. And we went through a long process of talking to them about what all of the elements of the buildings are that keep them energy efficient. We've looked at the energy use to date, and we noticed when we were going through this program that they weren't performing quite to what the design standards said they would, which is a common problem for LEED buildings. When you build a LEED building, it really looks at the construction, the waste that comes from construction, it looks at the design of the building. But then for new construction, it kind of stops there. Once the buildings are built, typically people stop monitoring them. And they often don't perform mm-hmm. to the design standards because we use buildings, we don't use them very efficiently sometimes, especially if you have hundreds of students moving into the buildings and
They're going to fling open doors and windows
and just use
things differently, right. Run their heat up a little higher, any of that stuff.
Yeah, and when it's a brand new building, some of the systems might have quirks in them that we haven't been able to work out yet. And so, for instance, the heating and air was having a few issues when we first opened. That we've since worked out. And so things like that really contribute to higher energy use than what the buildings are designed to do. So this was a great program for us because it helped us recognize that these buildings could be performing much better than they are. So we've really taken a close eye and looked at the buildings and tried to fix the systems that aren't working and are trying to really engage the students in being more energy efficient and having more sustainable behaviors.
So those are two interesting prongs, because on one hand, you can deal with some things mechanically. You
right.
can make sure that the system's working a little better. You can change some baffles in the heating system, whatever, to make the efficiency greater. But then mm-hmm. dealing with engaging the students and getting them to change behavior, what kinds of requests were made and how were they made?
Well, we're going to be making them when the students move in the next couple of months, because for Chevrolet, we're going to be looking at the energy use for the entire calendar year of 2014. Okay. So we have a few months to make up some space. And so we're going to be asking the students, we're going to be putting up a lot of information about how to live with energy efficiency. So using power strips to plug in your computer and your phone charger so you can turn off the strip when it's not in use so you don't have the phantom energy use. Turning off the lights when they leave the room, doing things like with the dryer, drying your clothes on a hanging rack in your room instead of drying them in the dryer, which is better for your clothes and it saves a ton of energy. And so we're going to have things like that. We're going to do a training with the resident assistants to educate them about it so they can pass it on to the students who are on their halls and on their floors. And we're really hoping that it'll be able to make an impact not only in our halls right now, but hopefully for the students for their entire lives.
This is the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking to Roxanne Beigel-Coriel. She's Southern Oregon University's Sustainability and Recycling Coordinator. We're talking generally about things that go on at SOU in sustainability and recycling, but more specifically here about the sale of carbon credits to Chevrolet. Join us on the Exchange with questions or comments, 800-838-3760, anywhere you can hear us. Our Rogue Valley local number, 541-552-6782. Our email address, jx@jeffnet.org. So come to the end of the calendar year, Chevrolet will, you'll assess and talk to Chevrolet about what you did mm-hmm. in the way of the energy use for the building. And then do they send you a check at this point? What happens?
They will. So for part of the project, there's a tool called Target Finder online through the EPA where you can plug in the information about your building. And it'll give you a baseline number, which is based on your building's size and type of use, what a typical building just built like a regular conventional building to code.
Not LEED Gold, in other words.
Not LEED Gold, how much energy it would use, what the carbon emissions would be. And then you plug in the information about your specific building and what it was designed to do, or once we get to the end of the process, it'll be how much energy we actually used for a year, and it'll tell us our total carbon emissions. And whatever the difference is between the two, between the carbon emissions our building generated and what a conventional one would, is how many carbon credits we'll be able to sell to Chevrolet. And then at that point, they'll send us a check.
Any idea what the going rate is for a carbon credit and how much money this might bring? I mean, is it more symbolic at this point than actually a financial sort of boost for the university?
I would say for SOU, it's not going to be a huge financial boost just because we're not going to have a ton of carbon credits to sell them. We might have around 1,000 tons if we can get the buildings to really perform well. But it is, and I mean, as a public university, as a state university, any funding helps, especially for doing sustainability and carbon reduction efforts. So we're going to put it into a fund that we're going to use to do more projects like this on campus and to continually reinvest in energy efficiency and carbon reduction.
So 1,000 tons, but is there a set rate on the market at this point? Is there something that fluctuates? I mean, so much has been said about carbon markets and so mm-hmm. little, I think, actually known. It doesn't work like the stock market at this point yet, does it?
No, I don't think so. And it fluctuates some. I think the going rate for what they would call this is like a boutique credit would be $5 to $10 per ton.
Mm-hmm. So you'd end up with somewhere between $5,000 and $10,000.
Yeah, which is a good chunk when you're looking at least having something to invest in a project that maybe we would like to do on campus, but we don't have the investment, the money up front to do it. Or if we're doing lighting retrofits and things like that, $5,000 can be a very significant chunk.
That really gets you down the road.
Yeah.
Well, when we talk about the kinds of things that exist, though, in the existing residence halls, the ones that you're doing the LEED Gold with or have
yeah.
done the LEED Gold with and are getting the carbon credits on, I mean, do they have things like LED lighting and stuff that's that up to date?
Yes, they have some, and they have a lot of efficient fluorescent lighting. And they've used as much of the current technologies as they can in a way that makes sense for the way the buildings are used.
So you've all right, and anybody who's gone into some of the other buildings on the Southern Oregon University campus will get used to things like when you walk into a dark section of the library, the lights go on.
Right.
But the lights are not on if nobody's in there.
Right.
All right, we have a phone call for you, so let's talk to Roxanne Beigel-Coriel. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange to Ray in Green Springs.
Hey, thanks for the topic. I'm glad to hear anything about sustainability at SOU, and I was real glad to hear you talk about hanging your clothes on a hanging rack and dryers. When I heard that, I was going to call and suggest that you don't even provide dryers, and then that definitely eliminates more energy. But specifically what I wanted to ask you was about water use at SOU.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've been up to Hyatt Lake recently, but Hyatt Lake is almost completely gone.
Oh, wow.
And maybe you could verify this. I've been told SOU is the largest client for TID, and that's where Hyatt Lake water goes, is to TID.
Mm-hmm.
And recently I drove down the little street between the football field and the softball field, and the sprinklers were running full bore, and the water was running into the street. And I've seen this around the campus before, where sprinklers are watering the sidewalks and the roads. And I've noticed that SOU keeps their lawns very green. And I'm just wondering if, as part of your sustainability studies, if anybody's looking at the water situation, because, that's a big issue right now. We're in a drought. And
All right. All makes sense. Thanks for the call, Ray. Very much appreciated. TID, for the folks who live outside the Rogue Valley, is the Talent Irrigation District, from which SOU gets its irrigation water. So do you know if you're TID's biggest customer?
I don't know that. I don't know what other customers they have, but I would imagine that we're a very significant customer for them. We do use TID for 99% of our irrigation water, which is a lot. We have a very large campus, almost 200 acres, and we have thousands of sprinklers on campus. And so we know that watering is an issue. We know that we're a large user of water, but we're also doing everything we can to conserve as much water as possible. We had a lot of discussions this year with the drought about what we were going to do with our lawns and with watering. And we cut off water to every space that used is domestic water, which is only 1%, but it's a significant amount of lawn. And we also stopped watering any lawns that we felt we could let go. The sports fields, we couldn't because they are used during the summer for our athletic teams and some intramural sports. So we needed the fields to be maintained for them. And we also looked at the cost of if we don't water and our trees die, our plants die, our grass dies. It's a very expensive and it's a very wasteful to have all those plants die. So our landscape crew has been doing everything they can to cut water use. They gave themselves a goal of 30% reduction. They've also been doing things like spreading mulch as much as they can. They're spreading it around the base of the trees so they conserve more water. And we're really always looking at ways to improve our water use.
When you're talking about building new buildings, though, like the McLaughlin and Shasta residence halls, I mean, you have all this new stuff you can put into it, but then mm-hmm. you can also talk about retrofitting some things, too. And I know from working on the Southern Oregon University campus that, yes, there are lots of broken sprinkler heads that just shoot water straight up
constantly.
In the air. So, I mean, is any money going into things like that to go back and retrofit and put better sprinkler systems into the ground to make sure they don't waste as much water as the old ones?
Yes, we've been working on a huge retrofit of our entire irrigation system. It's a very old system, very old pipe. A lot of old sprinkler heads, and a lot of it's done manually. So part of the problem for us is we have a very small grounds crew who are trying to cover this entire campus.
I know him.
Yeah.
And they got a couple of other people with him. Yeah.
Yeah. And so there are some spaces now where they have it on this computerized system where they can see if a sprinkler's broken. The sprinklers have moisture sensors so they can tell them if the lawn's been saturated, they can turn it off. But there's other spots where they have to go manually, turn the sprinklers on and off. We also are updating everything. So like at the new residence halls, they have the efficient MP rotators, so they don't spray the sidewalk. They only spray the lawns. Of course, there's the wind blows here. So there's always water that's not making it where we want it to go. But we can only fight that battle as much as we can. But they flag sprinklers when they see them broken. They want people to call in if they see a broken sprinkler because it doesn't help us if the water's running down the sidewalk and it's not what we want. But it happens a lot. We have students walking on the sprinklers, people driving on them. They break.
Yeah, they do indeed.
Yeah.
So back to the carbon credit sale to Chevrolet. Is it a 1-year deal? I mean, is it? Do you have to re-up again for next year if you want to do it again?
With Chevrolet, it's a 1-year deal. Their commitment, they started in 2010, and it was through 2015. And so they're only purchasing them from us for 1 year. But we are verified to sell for 10 years. So if we wanted to go out and find another company to sell to, we could for the next 10 years.
So who verified and who goes through that process?
We worked with the Climate Action Network and with the Verified Carbon Systems.
Okay,
I think we can
yeah,
check and
out
so,
what that exactly is.
They worked with Chevrolet to create the methodology that they used to verify us. And then we've gone through a lot of process with them to make sure that our buildings are saving carbon and that we actually have credits to sell.
Well, I mean, obviously a lot has happened with the construction of the residence halls, but it seems like over the course of the 2 years since your position was created that there's been a lot going on at Southern Oregon University to make the campus more sustainable.
Yes. Yeah, we've been doing a lot. Some of the most visible things are all the solar that we've installed on campus. We have about 194 kilowatts on our Ashland campus at this point. And we have 56 kilowatts over at the Higher Ed Center in Medford, Oregon. And so that's really big for us because it helps to reduce the amount of electricity that we're demanding from the grid. But we're also doing lighting retrofits and always trying to improve the equipment that we have on campus to be more efficient so we use less energy.
I see if you're putting out 194 kilowatts from the Ashland campus, most of that is coming from the McLaughlin and Shasta residence halls.
Yeah, that's a very significant piece of it. And the next biggest system we have is on the student union, and it's only 32 kilowatts. That was all the funding that we had available, but there's a lot of space up there to expand.
All right, the goal again, a 100% reduction of carbon footprint at the Southern Oregon University campus by 2050. Roxanne Beigel-Coriel is the Sustainability and Recycling Coordinator. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank
on The
you.
Exchange. Great to have you. That'll do it for Hour 1. Back with Hour 2 of The Exchange in just a few moments.